This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us is who? Whom?
Catherine Wilson. And she's here today to talk about pilot professionalism.
Oh,
as opposed
wow.
to radio professionalism, which we'll never do.
Pilot professionalism is when you get paid for it, right?
Well, I would hope
Could
so.
Be.
It's part of it, I would hope.
It is part of it.
But yeah, they'll never pay me. They may pay me not to fly. That's different.
I would pay for that for sure.
That could be very lucrative. They pay farmers not to grow, right?
Yep.
There you go.
All right. Well, anyway, Catherine, my thought of train of thought just
went right out of the mic.
Right off the track.
What do you mean by pilot professionalism?
Yeah, well, what we're talking about today, I have a presentation in a little bit at 10 o'clock in the Federal Pavilion. We're going to be talking about the importance of pilot professionalism, and it's really your attitude, your character, your dedication to improving your knowledge, your skills, your abilities, and really, you know, just doing the right thing when nobody's looking.
Okay, so this applies to weekend flyers as well as the guys that do it every day.
Absolutely, and it's not only pilots, mechanics, owners of FBOs.
Oh, come on, you didn't need that bolt.
Yeah.
It's an extra.
You got two ignition systems, don't worry about it.
That's right. And fuel's overrated.
Who needs it?
Yeah, so it's attention to the details, it's not being arrogant.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, there's a lot of things that stop us from being professional. It could be hazardous attitudes, the, you know, I've done it 20 times before, I can do it again. I don't need to run that checklist. Oh, I checked the fuel earlier, I don't need to recheck it. Those type of things. Distractions, using our cell phones, you know, texting our friends when we're doing a pre-flight.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. Hold on a second here, I got a message.
Yep. You know, fatigue is another big one, you know. Just not being aware that just a couple hours less sleep a night could lead us to performing not as well the next day. And another big one is really medications as well. A lot of them have impairing effects, and all of those things just sort of chip away at safety. And by being a professional, we can really try to break that error chain and prevent an accident.
So what you're trying to do is we're trying to teach pilots to A, use your head, and B, avoid those here, hold my beer moments.
Absolutely.
Well, and I guess take flying seriously.
It really is. And, you know, no matter how long you've been doing it, you know, I like to think about it. It's less embarrassing to go around than to, you know, show your friends your crumpled airplane. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think of it as once you leave the ground, you're out of your element. And things go wrong quickly.
They certainly can. You can't just pull your car over to the side of the road.
Right.
No, for sure.
Right. There are people who have trouble doing that. But anyway, we won't go there.
You know, the one thing is, maybe the people don't realize it, but YouTube can be used to help prove this point. There's a lot of videos out there of people getting into problems with aircraft and doing it right.
Absolutely.
They walk away from it.
And I think educating yourself is also really important. I mean, there's a ton of resources online that the FAA has and other organizations just to help you understand making better decisions. You know, what are those attitudes that I need to avoid? How do I better prepare for a flight?
How do I break the chain of seemingly innocent things that all add up?
Yep. And so, you know, the one thing that I want to try to talk about today in my presentation is, you know, the point that small changes, seemingly small changes that we make, can really have a big impact on safety.
Well, I can give you a non-aviation example. Just this morning as we were coming in, I was a little bit late getting started and it threw off the routine. So he completely forgot something he needed to bring with us.
I knew that was
obviously
coming.
A totally innocuous incident. But if you put that in the context of flying, it could be a lot more important.
Absolutely.
Small changes in routine.
Yep.
Yeah.
That butterfly effect.
Exactly. Yep. Just what I was thinking. Butterfly effect.
Okay, the pigeon hitting the windshield effect in my
case. That's usually a lot more disastrous.
Yes. Are you finding a lot of the people are receptive to you? These? It's almost a philosophy shift is what you're trying to encourage.
It is. And, you know, I think in my job, I'm with the NTSB. I do accident investigation. So we find that I think even the best pilots have bad days, you know. So I would like to think that we're all professional 100% of the time. But have I ever texted and driven? Of course, we've all done things that we can look back and say, I wish we didn't do it. But, you know, if we can try to be professional most of the time, it's going to really have a big impact on safety.
Okay.
So it's not just procedures, but it's also an attitude. You've got to be in the zone. I'm going to be a professional pilot today. If there's something that looks shady, it probably is.
Yep. If it doesn't feel right, you know, there's no shame in turning around, going back to, you know, the ramp to rerun a checklist if you're just not sure. You know, that 5 minute delay, 10 minute delay could mean the difference.
I can just hear the audio now from the private pilot. I overheard by air traffic control, "Don't you kids stop that. Don't make me stop this airplane."
Yeah. Don't make me turn this plane around.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, kids, passengers, that's another big distraction that we have.
Well, yeah, especially if you get one that decides to freak out on you.
Yeah, just what you need in the cockpit. You're flying IFR. You have a screaming kid in the back. And I'm sure that's happened more than once.
Or the guy who's flying rescue animals and somehow one of them gets loose. I'm sure that's happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's got to be an interesting conversation with air traffic.
Well, what kind of resources do you have and use to help make a pilot act more of a professional?
Well, I think attending my presentation at 10 o'clock is the first step.
That's a great start, yeah, okay.
But, I mean, there's a lot of resources online at FAA Safety that has pamphlets, YouTube videos that can be watched, training videos. Just even being aware that these things exist, that we might make mistakes, and, you know, that's the first step in recognizing when something doesn't feel right. Like you said, if it doesn't feel right, it's probably not. And we need to step back and reevaluate.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Well, you know, I've always been kind of a big picture guy, and there are times when you're so focused on stuff, you forget the big picture, and that can bite you.
What about the guy that's been flying for about 1.5 million years? You know, he's used to flying little biplanes out of his grass strip, and his attitude is, you know, what does it have to do with me? Do you run into that?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think the important thing is that it applies to all of us, no matter whether you're a 50-hour pilot or a 5,000-hour pilot. And so, you know, something like a go-around, that's not something that people do every day. Practicing that, thinking about those what-if scenarios, what am I going to do if something goes wrong, and how am I going to respond to that? If you've got access to a simulator, you know, reading accident reports, and you see, hey, look at how this guy got into the situation. What would I do in this situation? If you've got that opportunity to practice it in a safe environment, that could also make the difference. Should you be faced with that situation?
I also think training yourself to recognize that you are in that situation is kind of important.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, FAA Safety's got a lot of information. Our NTSB booth in the Federal Pavilion, we've got a lot of pamphlets that talk about what pilots can do to make a difference. As well.
I guess a lot of that also has to do with predefining your personal limits before you ever fly.
I think you've got the I'm safe checklist, even running that, understanding, am I sick? How am I feeling today? Am I fatigued? What medications am I on? All of that stuff to know what you can do, what you can't do in terms of personal effects, but also, our flying abilities, you know, crosswinds.
Yeah, have
IFR.
I flown in weather like this before? Do
Absolutely.
I really want to?
Mm-hmm. State of mind would also figure into that,
sure.
too. Have you been permanently aggravated at work? Have you had a fight with your wife and or girlfriend?
Absolutely. Managing stressors, that's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you mad at the airplane?
Yeah. Well, I know that there have been circumstances in my life where I've gotten bad news, and I don't fly a lot, but I ride a motorcycle a lot, and there have been times when I've gotten news and my mind just falls apart and I say, yep, we're just going to keep it parked. My mind's not in the game.
Yeah, that's easy for a GA, you know, hobby flying, flying guy. It's the professional that has to push past that because it's his job.
Well, there's a lot of safety programs in place now that prevent that from happening. Hopefully the organization has policies in place that if you're not fit to fly, you don't fly, and there should be no questions asked, particularly with fatigue.
Well, fatigue is an easy one to spot. The other emotional ones are not so hard, not so easy to spot.
It can be difficult, but you know, I think being the professional pilot means that you're going to step up and say, hey, I can't do this today.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it today. Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So I guess that plays a large part in incidents that you guys have investigated, is like pilot attitude. Yeah. What was he thinking?
Absolutely. And that's where I come in. You know, we've got a large team that works on major investigations. We've got our regional folks that do more of the general aviation type events. My role is looking at what the pilot did or didn't do and, you know, how that contributed to the accident. So answering that why.
Right, right. You're not trying to necessarily understand his mindset. You're just trying to identify what he should have done or didn't do or did wrong.
And then, you know, why? Because, you know, just knowing what he did or didn't do doesn't really help us prevent it from happening again. But understanding why he made the decision he made, why he lost control, those are things that we can try to educate and train and prevent from happening again. So.
There it is, the training aspect. Very important.
It's all training.
It is.
Life is training.
Not anymore. I'm retired.
Oh, boy. All right, Catherine, where are you? Where's your presentation going to be?
It's going to be at the Federal Pavilion in Hangar D at 10 a.m.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us, Catherine Wilson. I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.